The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
If you don't want to get sticky, get back, Jack.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how we think they hold up to today. I am your host, as always, Tony. Joined with me is...
Brian.
Rob.
Joe.
And today we have special guest...
Brick.
All right.
Down into the dumpster behind the apartment.
It was cold out.
Well, that's why I set that fire for you.
Thank you.
Well, we brought him in for a little warmth and to try and feed him real food. Didn't go well.
And to witness a different dumpster fire.
Yes.
That it was.
We kind of unexpectedly had a little Valentine's theme going this month. Last week we had, got to squeeze your loved ones tight with Anaconda, a little John Voight and his lip smack in action.
Four-inch wiener wasp.
It was wiener wasp. Oh.
This week,
we just had a little nibble, me and my wiener wasp.
We had another little love connection because two of LA's top rival cops are going to have to work together, even if it kills them. We watched Tango and Cash.
Even if it kills us.
1989. It almost killed us.
I mean, look, Stallone and Kurt Russell, I mean, how could you go wrong?
This is exactly. Actually, we'll get in. I'll save the rest of that for history. If this movie. But, Andre, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his last name. Is the director or Andre? So I already screwed it up. But he brought us
Andre 3000,
Runaway Train, Shy People, The Inner Circle. Anybody?
Nope.
Anybody out there? Anybody? Nope. Anybody?
Somebody playing music?
Someone's trying to call me.
Oh.
They're trying to tell me not to watch this movie, but...
Too late.
Yeah. It's just...
You're like, you should have stayed in the dumpster.
Where we left you. I have an apology and a remission for last week's episode. I made mention that Anaconda and Lake Placid were not movies that were in my wheelhouse. That's not true.
Oh, yeah.
Those movies are entirely my wheelhouse. Like, the entirety of my wheelhouse.
A little duh.
Anaconda was still terrible, though. That's all.
Lake Placid, pretty terrible. All right. Yeah. Don't focus on Betty White and try and remember the rest of the movie. That's all I'm saying.
Is that as good as it looks? All
right.
That chat update.
More.
Oh, we are quickly interrupted by Fat
Chat.
Fat Chat,
keep going,
everybody.
Keep going.
What about Brian's next level snack move here?
I smashed a Little Debbie cupcake with one of them cocoa crispy num nums things. The fudge cocoa rice crispy cake, whatever the fuck they're called.
Whatever they're called.
And they're pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. We're done derailing Tony for another minute.
Well, that's all right. Now that we've proven there are two delicious things that should be good together and actually are, let's get back to the two things that should be good together but really aren't. let's jump in with what's your personal history with this movie, Brian?
This movie's on list because of me. I liked this movie when I was younger. It would come on USA, and I remember liking it. But I don't remember much of it. I'm not quite sure why I liked it. I mean, watching it, I can tell what parts I would have liked when I was a kid. But, so this is my fault, and I own it. I'm not sorry.
No. I'll save that for Ghost Dad.
I didn't put that on the list, but I loved Ghost Dad when I was a kid,
though. You, Tony.
It might have been.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I knew someone was going to be
Leonard
sorry
Part
for
6,
it.
When I was young as fuck, I liked them shits. They were stupid. They were dumb as fuck, and I liked them. I like dumb shit. Fuck you.
No, Ghost Dad.
With the butter on the lobster? Oh, like that was,
First, another interruption from Fat Chat. What, Rob has stepped up your game here.
Yeah, I think it backfired on me. As often happens, my eyes were a bit bigger than my mouth. And I tried to three wise upgrade Brian's sandwich with a Milky Way in the middle. It's too much. Too much of a good thing. Mm. Also, I have no history with this movie. I've never seen it before.
All right, Joe.
Okay. When the first time I saw this movie, it was like Do you remember that scene from A History of Violence at the end where, like, the bad guy, he's got Viggo Mortensen in a room and they're talking. And while they're talking, one of his goons sneaks up behind Viggo Mortensen, puts a garrote around his neck and is choking him. And there's other goons there holding him down. And then, like, in a span of, like, 30 seconds, all of them are dead. And Viggo Mortensen ran out the door. And he's just standing there like, how did you fuck that up? That was me. I remember just watching. You got Sylvester Stallone. You got Kurt Russell, and I'm just standing at the end of the movie like, how did you fuck that up? And since then, I've avoided this movie.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
What were you expecting?
Isn't Viggo Mortensen in Ghostbusters?
No. That's Viggo the Carpathian.
Fucking brick. Fucking brick.
That's closer than he usually is.
You said Viggo Mortensen, yeah. And I immediately imagined the painting, and I'm like, that's not an actor.
At least this time I was immediately able to get the connection, so it's something. But yes, he did confuse a real world actor with a fictional talking painting robot.
Behold, Viggo Mortensen.
To be fair, I think Peter Pecknickel also balls around the actor and does whatever he has.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they worked together again when Peter Pecknickel played Gollum in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I gotta say, if Viggo Mortensen was in that painting, he would have fucked the Ghostbusters up. Oh, wow, brutal.
That would have been awful. So yeah, while we're on Brick over here,
he hasn't seen this movie. You know he hasn't seen this movie.
But the audience doesn't. I never heard of it, and I know why.
So do I. You lived in a cave for most of
a dumpster. A dumpster.
Right.
By a cave.
In a cave.
Guarded by a dragon.
Okay. Yeah, I had seen this when I was much younger. I don't really remember thinking much about it one way or the other. I probably enjoyed it, but I remember I've seen bits and pieces of it since and was just like, man, no, I'm good. And now I remember why.
It seems like the kind of movie that, like, when we finally roll Men at Work, we're going to have the exact same, like, response for that movie.
Probably.
But I recall them, like, loving the crap out of that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Is that based off the band?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. All right.
It stars Colin Hayes. No. So
what are you doing?
I'm scraping paint off my pants. Somebody dumped paint in the dumpster.
Oh, okay.
So Brian, if you don't want to get sticky.
Back up, Jack.
Yeah. It is white paint.
So to try and get us back on this movie here.
Why?
Because that's the point.
Yeah, I guess. I know.
I don't know. Should I bother? All right. So, history on this movie. It was had a ton of the behind the scenes problems, which you can probably tell on screen.
Well, it's alone.
Including filming, script changes, cuts, the script and re-edits change
in the movie. Really?
What?
Yeah, rewrites. You say? No. To the point where it was so bad that a later interview with a cast member who was a veteran with working in the movie industry said that it was the worst organized and poorly prepared film that he's ever been on in his life.
Was that Robert Zadar?
I don't know. It didn't get a name, so maybe.
The chin doesn't lie.
He said from the day that it started, no one knew what the hell they were doing. And they were trying to do a 22-week movie in 11 days.
It took 11 days to do this movie?
No, I think that was an exaggeration. Oh. But Patrick Swayze was originally supposed to be cast as Cash, but he decided not to do it and do Roadhouse instead.
Roadhouse.
Good move.
Yeah.
Those aren't the same people.
Continue.
Wait. The same people as what?
So, all right. So the guy who played Cash, I actually thought he was the guy in Roadhouse.
You did?
Yes.
I hate you so much.
I thought he was.
And have you seen Big Trouble in Little China?
Yes, I showed it to him.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that movie because of Joe.
Nobody puts a green-eyed Asian girl in the corner.
I would have been...
Fucking brick. Fucking brick.
Big Trouble in Little China ends when he just rips the guy's throat out when he's trying to stay some incantation.
Everything
brick. Well, no, I figure he dances. He dances so... Yes.
Yep.
Yes, Brick.
Correct. Ghost, too.
No, I was just picturing he dances so well that the rival just inflates and explodes.
Everything Brick says is like a mic drop, but it's like a rubber mic, and it just bounces back and hits him in the face.
Yeah, I was thinking it's more like a mic drop if there was a comedian on stage telling dad jokes. Like, it doesn't really work.
No, it's great. We love you. Right. I love you.
Rob's a liar, and we all know this.
I'm not a liar. Rob I'm a drunk. Lot of things, but a liar is not one of them.
He's drunk.
I'm not even...
He's not drunk yet.
No. I feel pretty good.
Give me like 5 more
minutes. His love for Eric is going to deteriorate the drunker he gets.
What if it like increased? What if
then you, sir, are located in a bad spot. Oh, right
damn. Well, at least I wouldn't have to go back into the dumpster tonight.
Spotting it weird.
It's getting weird already.
Well, you would, actually. Sharon would have the bed. You and I would have the dumpster.
Oh, well.
That's all right. Raccoons make fuzzy pillows.
I love her.
I know.
You were trying to say something about this movie.
This movie apparently happened.
So, principal photography began before the script was completed.
Of course.
Stallone had the original director of photography, Barry Sonnenfeld, fired.
Barry Sonnenfeld?
Yep.
Good job, Sly.
Yeah.
I don't know who that
Seinfeld?
Is.
Seinfeld?
Yes, Jerry Seinfeld. Barry Sonnenfeld's directed a bunch of good movies.
He is the director of Men in Black. Oh. He's also the director, or producer at least, of Wild Wild West, so... Take it with a grain of salt. But the point is
he the...
Did you put like not Will Smith movies to...
But that's if that's all he's done.
Okay.
I confused him with someone else.
Is he the giant spider guy?
Yeah.
Is he the guy that insists on spiders?
The one that because that was the producer of Wild Wild West.
Who's the one that was going to do Superman and insisted there was a giant spider in it?
That might
Wild Wild West is the one with
Cowboys, yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Actually, no, there's not any Cowboys.
No, but that was the one where he wanted Kevin Smith to write the Superman movie, but he had his three rules, which was no flying because it's stupid.
No cape.
No cape because it's faggy. And a giant spider. Yeah.
Right. It sounds a lot like probably the writer's room when Michael Bay was too intrigued.
Yeah. Pretty much.
They wrote a script for that. I want to read that shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
And isn't that when Nicolas Cage was going to be Superman?
Have you seen any of the test drawings for
it? Still not this movie.
Yeah. Brian, I got news for you. This movie was not this movie. Just nothing happened.
In honor of Tango and Cash, we're going to do 5 different podcasts in one.
Yeah.
Oh, hey guys,
and
guess
bicker
what?
The entire time. Yeah.
Two idiots are opposites, and they have to get together. And a girlfriend or sister gets kidnapped at the end. The end. Boop boop boop.
It's a girl sister.
Girl sister, sure.
Wait, is that why you're
as
already,
opposed to a boy sister?
You've been offending Brian and you're making googie eyes at Brick?
What? I'm not offended. He can do what he wants.
Oh, I thought maybe you guys...
Ain't no ring.
Brick is not Brian's sister.
Yeah, ain't no... Wait, well, I have
that
one, but
true.
It doesn't apply here.
All right.
I am no one's sister.
So,
sister.
After nearly 3 months of filming, the director was fired and they had to bring in someone else. It was claimed because it was budgetary reasons.
That you fired the director?
What does that have to do with anything?
That was the claim.
I told him I wanted Stallone cuts at the...
According to the director, the real reason was they couldn't decide on the movie's ending.
Yeah.
He and Stallone wanted a more serious movie, while the producer, John Peters, wanted a goofier, campier style movie.
Nobody got what they wanted.
Yep. The original director also said that, believe it or not, Stallone was the voice of reason in all this, and he really kept the movie together.
Really?
I could believe that.
The movie was, after many re-edits, because Warner Brothers wanted to avoid the MPAA's, their rating systems and the like, and all that business, they had to keep the movie down with not too much violence, which is why you get a lot of quick cuts and things, and you don't see a lot of people bleeding and so on.
Why you get a car with a giant minigun on the side of it that never fires.
Yep.
Yeah, but they dropped the F-bomb like every 3 seconds.
It was the 80s, though.
Yeah.
What? You're absolutely...
Swear all you want, titties all over the place, but titties. Blood, now we have a problem.
Some That was in my wedding vows.
I have heard that that's the way that it is in Europe, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're the complete opposite. They don't care about nudity. They don't care about, you know, bad language. They do care about violence. Over here, we don't care about violence. Mm. We care about nudity and
bad language. Care about violence.
Yeah.
We care
violence about... is a requisite over here.
All we care about, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Is the stars and the stripes. And if you don't like that, you can go back to whatever country you came from. I don't even know what ethnicity Brick is supposed to be. USA. US. No? Nobody?
Nobody.
Just
nobody.
Me?
Nobody.
Okay. I'm still trying to think of what ethnicity I am.
Well, it doesn't say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty.
You denied my...
So...
Something just happened off mic.
No, for the audience, Ryan just stole Rob's racist joke right out of his mouth and threw it across the room.
Yep.
The bag of gelt has been ejected from the podcast.
There, it's gone. It's gone.
Well, never mind.
I'm just going to try and finish up here.
I was going to make it way worse.
So this movie finished filming on October 20th, 1989.
Well, he didn't go jumping after it. So you know.
Oh, God damn it.
Still not drunk.
I don't think that helps your case, but all right.
So filmed on October 20th, 1989, 8 weeks before it was supposed to be theatrically released.
Yeah, the minute you said 1989, I was like, wait a minute, that's the year it came out.
Yep. You heard that right.
So many things are being explained.
And yeah. And the saddest note I could find on this, which was the top note on its Wikipedia. This is one of the last movies to be released in the 80s. One of the last 80s movies.
It was not an 80s movie. I have news for you. It was not an 80s movie.
Parts of it were.
It was a 90s movie wearing like an 80s movie disguise.
Yeah.
It felt like an example of why the 80s were being left behind.
It was the harbinger of the 90s.
It was a big dumb explanation of science in buddy cop clothing.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like that, you know, your dad or whatever, he's now in his 90s, but he's trying to act like he's still in his 80s, so he's cool, and like, no.
I can see the 90s all
put
over
you. Put some boobs. Yeah. I'm cool with the hip and hopping, right? Right, guys?
You get a fancy car.
You like Coach Z now?
Basically, yes.
Great job.
So... Do we want to guess at the budget this movie had?
So Stallone, after Rambo. Is this after Over
Earth?
The Top 2?
No.
Is this after
Over the Top.
So I'm guessing $29 million.
I'm going to guess $16 million.
I'm feeling an even 20.
I feel like this isn't going to be worth what they paid, so I'm going to go with 30.
It was worth doing because it was 55.
Whoa! Oh, shit! Jesus! For that?
Yeah.
For that!
I guess it's expensive to put a minigun on a minivan.
Yeah.
I want to say that a lot of it had to have gone to those actors. They had to have paid them. Yeah.
Plus, you had to rent out Bigfoot for that end scene for the half second that it's there.
Well, I figured out of my $29 million guess, 20 of it was Stallone's. $9 million in a movie.
Well, Stallone brought in, what, like 12 for Over the Top or something stupid like that?
Yeah, it was something stupid.
I didn't think
Kurt Russell drew in that much money, though.
Somebody else did. So do we want to guess at how much money this movie made?
$29 million.
$20 million.
I'm going to go with 21.
These are big names, guys. Come on.
16. Okay. You know what? You've convinced me. 15.5.
I'm just thinking, like, this is the kind of movie that you'd go and tell your friends not to bother. So.
Well, this is before the internet, so not enough people got to say that. And it made $63 million.
Holy balls.
Wow. Ugh.
But still, for what the money you spent on it.
Oh, yeah, that's not making a profit here.
Yeah, but you at least made your money back for the most part. That's
maybe you covered marketing.
That's a hate crime right there.
So, what did this money go into, Joe? What was the cast we had here?
Okay, so you got Sylvester Stallone returning to the podcast as Lieutenant Raymond Tango. You got Kurt Russell also returning to the podcast as Lieutenant Gabriel Cash. Terry Hatcher, I did not recognize that as Terry Hatcher.
Really? Oh, man.
I watched this on a very shitty copy.
Okay.
That's fair.
So you have Skeletor as Jack Palance as Yves Perret. And then, like, he's on every other week, but James Hong, podcast staple as Quan.
We should see who has the most appearances.
It might be him.
I think he, yeah. I think this officially puts him on the top of the pile.
This might have been after his breakup with Victor Wong, though, because I didn't see him in this film.
No.
And you got Brian James as Raquin, or I forgot how you pronounce that, and Mark Alamo as Lopez.
Also, shout out to Robert Zadar, who I didn't realize was in this movie at the time.
This dude's chin is ridiculous.
Yeah, we will see him again. We will see this chin again.
Wait, but where? Who was he?
He was the guy with the chin in the beginning. Well, yeah, the guy with the chin.
The what?
The dude that gets electrocuted.
Oh, okay.
The guy with the chin.
Yeah, with the chin.
Yep. They were calling him Conan. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Even in 420 or whatever, whatever resolution you had to watch it, you got to see that chin, yeah. Man. That's like
the guy who looked like he was one of the stunt people from Lazy Town.
Like I said.
Even pixelated, the thing's got to look like the Ocarina of Time.
I don't remember anything from this movie.
It looks like Quagmire for real. Like,
it really does.
It was like Bennett if he had like a shellfish reaction.
Yeah! looks like in
he Big burst Trouble, through his chain China, mail.
When he starts to explode. The guy starts to explode. But it stopped.
Just forces it all to his face.
I was gonna say, it's a real condition, so I'm sorry. But it's fucking funny.
I believe he's also deceased.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of debating if I should say this, because it was like, he didn't stop. He just took him years to get there. But
whatever.
That guy's
my hero.
Honestly, it just grows.
I was named after him.
What, the chin? It just keeps growing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I forgot what Jack Palance looked like.
Really?
And how I recognized that guy was Jack Palance is I remembered Rob comparing Skeletor from Masters of the Universe to Jack Palance. And I was like, that's him right there.
I crack bigger than this movie, but I'll still be in it. Pay me.
Do not ask me to explain my evil plan. Jack, makes it no sense.
Makes no sense!
There was a plan?
Yes.
I just remember two mice. I don't, like...
Yes.
Put him in it.
Why you made out with him at one point?
Why do you have this?
James Hong is like, we can just kill him.
He's like, no, I have an overly elaborate plan.
Don't make them martyrs. Put them in prison where they'll die and then they'll be martyrs.
He's like a James Bond villain that was fired.
Yeah.
First, I'm going to frame them. Then when they're in prison, I'll show up so I can tell them my entire plan. And then I'll let them escape and take me down.
And that was for your podcast.
That's Tango and Cash.
That was the shortest podcast I've been part of. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
So what was everybody's take?
Oh boy.
All right,
I'm afraid there's a lot more.
It's my fault. I own it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not any worse than any of the other stuff we've seen in the last.
It's not like it's a kid and king off the court.
Yeah. You know, it's not like you rolled a 20 and picked it deliberately.
You got fucked by two more ones.
Yeah, Rob.
That's my fault too. I put it in his head.
Yeah.
He did. I put it in his head. Still, my fault too.
You know,
he's a vindictive dick. He would have come up with it himself. Because
we're pals. We pal around. Pals. I forgive you for taking away my coins. That's fine. I'll get those later.
So, why don't I just start this movie, Tony? Let them do whatever it is they're doing on that end of the table.
We're through it already. How.
Okay. So, Stallone, looking like an accountant.
He's a no-nonsense, by-the-books cop. But he's not by the books. He plays by his own rules, but by the books.
Yay.
He plays by the rules and then tells them what they are.
Well, yeah, he plays by his own rules, but he has a very well codified set of rules.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that have been like approved and notarized.
Not that you can understand it, because he just garbles it.
Well, I think it's basically he plays by the rules, so he knows all the like the gray areas or things that aren't covered in the rule book, so he does all that.
Yeah,
and that's why he was later nominated as Judge Dredd.
Basically, the movie starts out, we get a truck coming through, it's suspected to have drugs in it.
It's got a Robert Zadar in it.
It's got a fully loaded Robert Zadar at the helm, and Sly captures the truck by just shooting out the windshield. And
it makes no sense.
He somehow stops, like he plays chicken with a semi.
Well, yeah, this is problem number one. It's not that he shoots out the window and that stops the car.
He eventually scares
them into no longer driving. But that's just it. It's not that he scares them into stopping the car. He scares them into no longer driving the car. At that point, their heads are down. Even if they're not on the gas pedal, it's still going forward. There's still momentum. You are going to die.
Well, yeah, just duck. Like, he's got like a little, like, I don't know, that was like a 38 or something. Yeah. Like, it's not going to penetrate the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Just duck.
My first realization that there would be many places I'd have to suspend my expectations of normal behavior
was... When you saw Stallone?
No, was when I saw the drivers of a truck that were clearly smuggling something, because it hadn't been revealed yet. Didn't appear to have any guns, didn't seem to be, you know, they didn't seem to expect that a cop would be shooting at them, and they didn't seem to be interested in running him over. This is all not behavior that I would expect from somebody driving a 16-wheeler running away from the police.
Even if you don't run him over, just turn, go around him, something.
Yeah,
like, he got out of the car.
Yeah,
he got out of the car.
Yeah.
Parked, like, he got out of the car,
dropped 6 bullets on the ground.
Just cause.
Yeah. Reloaded.
Yeah. Now, if there's some reason it zoomed in on the bullets and it showed that they were, like, armor piercing or something, maybe that would make sense.
At least interesting, but not. Just slow motion wasted.
Maybe that's on the cutting room floor.
What I appreciated, though, is when this truck screeches to a halt and both the passenger and the driver just fly through the window.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For no reason. Like, I'm like, okay, it's going to be one of those movies.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's like a good minute after the car stops. They just come flying
and
out.
And what, like, is the passenger dead?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's gone. He's just out of the movie.
They should both be dead from that.
Yeah, but he...
Or at least unconscious.
Zadar's chin broke his fall. So
that's true.
Sly just tosses him the handcuffs. He's like, cuff yourself. Blah, 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 blah. And so then I guess he's in this scene, he's out of his jurisdiction. So, like, the proper police show up, or the highway patrol or whatever it is, show up, and they're like, you know, you screwed up. There's nothing in the truck, whatever.
Who I want your gun. I want your badge.
Yeah. Who do you think you are, Rambo?
An actual joke from the movie.
Yep.
And what's the retort?
Rambo's a pussy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if Rambo were here stopping that truck, that would have been an interesting scene.
There'd be nothing left of the truck.
Well, I like his tactic for this is very Rambo-esque, because after calling Rambo a pussy, he decides he's going to prove this is not a gas truck by firing at the tank.
Yep.
Which...
Yeah, but Rambo would have pulled
nothing but good there.
If he would have pulled an RPG out of his pants, lamel thing to hell,
or just hit it with like a
or bow and arrow.
Yeah, bow and arrow. Yeah, he would have pulled out the bow and arrow and screwed the warhead on in front of the trooper.
No, that's Hot Shots. Hot Shot Part Deux.
Or UHF. That was really in one of the Rambos.
Or UHF.
Anyway, how funny would it have been if he was wrong and he just shot a gas truck?
That would have been amazing.
Problem solved.
It's just cash.
Tango arrested for killing a whole bunch of cops. Half his face is burnt off. He's in the hospital. And that's how we became Two-Face.
So that's how we meet Tango. Now we meet Cash next.
Two-Face? No. We meet the bad guys who happened to be riding by in a limo.
Well, they probably were shadowing the shipment. I don't know why, but they were.
Yeah.
Because weren't stopped by the cops.
He decides the best way to stay undercover is to be like 2 feet behind all the worst shit he's doing at all times.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They comment on how Tango and Cash are such a problem. And so James Hogg is just like, can we just kill him?
can we kill him? Can we kill him?
You got to keep your chin up. We'll go after him.
Yeah, I have a plan. I clearly haven't thought of it yet, but...
I'll get there.
I got a feeling one's coming.
Yeah.
Well, no, it seems pieces are in motion.
So now we meet Cash.
Because now we meet Cash. He's home. He's had a hard day's work.
He's got like a million children begging him for stuff outside his house.
Yeah, I guess, for whatever that is.
I did appreciate, though, a true 80s staple. Each one of those kids had a toy gun.
Yeah. Everybody did. Mm-hmm. And you want to point toy guns at a police officer. Mm-hmm. That always ends well.
That was before that got you shot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Except for a Die Hard.
Except for Die Hard, yeah.
I shot a kid.
Oh, Carl.
Yeah, he was in Die Hard.
What?
Who?
What?
Who was in Die Hard?
Wasn't he in Die Hard?
Who?
Cash.
No!
I assume they spent money on Die Hard. Yes, if that's what you mean.
Never mind.
No, please expound.
Which character did you think he is?
The podcast, you guys can't see my face right now. I wish there was some way to convey
but,
what my face is. I'm pretty sure if you're feeling it on your face right now, that's the face Brian's making.
Viggo was in Die Hard. Is that what you meant?
No.
No, okay.
The guy with curly hair.
Kurt Russell.
Catch.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Not in Die Hard.
Not in Die Hard?
Bruce Willis was the main character.
Well, I know that. No hair. I thought he was like a sidekick or something.
A sidekick in Die Hard.
That.
Like partner or something.
No.
You mean a limo driver?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Or Reginald Bell Johnson.
Kurt Russell played Argyle.
Can we turn
his mic off? It'll help the people at home, but it's not going to help us.
Unplug this.
Kurt Russell as Argyle.
No, that would have been cool though if the Pork Chop Express brought him in the building.
That would have been kind of cool.
Then at the end, when that ambulance is trying to drive away, just an 18-wheeler.
I also like the idea of him as Carl Winslet. But also to specify, Viggo the Carpathian was in Die Hard.
Correct.
Viggo Mortensen was not.
Correct. I was trying to give.
I thought he was a painting.
Okay.
Yes.
So. Cash is in...
I still got it wrong.
Cash is in the movie somehow.
Cash shows up...
What are you doing to Rob's table?
There are armrests that I discovered.
They're not armrests.
So Cash is checking himself out in the mirror when, what do you know, it's an assassin.
It's his own reflection.
Like, who makes this kind of building where, like, there's a whole other room on the other side of your mirror, like...
Oh, I can think of some reason someone made that.
That's a great idea.
I have a feeling his last few tenants were young college women that were never seen from again.
Okay, all right then.
But anyway, so yeah, it's an assassin. He shoots him, like, right in the chest, but he just shakes that shit off, and then a chase ensues.
A really long chase.
Tango's really good at getting shot in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, Cash.
For Brett Cash. So yeah, like we're going all through a parking structure. We're fucking up cars left and right.
It's like I felt like they wanted to put some titties in this scene because doesn't like a blonde lady pops up
and
you know, like a boss and his secretary or whoever they were just fucking in the back of their car.
Weren't
for
there? There were titties.
Yeah, there were.
Oh, again, I watched a shitty copy. I didn't actually see it.
Yeah, there were.
As a kid, I only saw this on USA, so I never knew there were boobs in it. So today I was like, oh, titties. Oh shit. All right.
Yeah, it's the '80s. They were just like, here's titties.
Yeah. Like it's mandatory. All right.
Yeah.
We're not nineties yet, so we still have to meet our quota of
their pecs on girls. You know,
I did observe that was a very, very, very large park garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that where I thought that was going?
Me either. The brick thing, you can never tell.
Huge tracts of land.
Under this building.
I like how he stops this pickup truck, though, by just throwing like a Chevette or like some kind of hatchback at it.
Well, my theory was like in Highlander, maybe it was all nonsense. Like there was no quickening because while they were fighting, after he cuts his head off, it's just this idiot in the background just driving through, knocking all the lights out, and that's this guy.
When the first light that he knocks out like hits him in the back and electrocutes him a little, you think this is the quickening?
Yeah, he saw some boobs, he got electrocuted. You know,
he felt empowered.
He had a quickening. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my!
Came in his pants and he felt empowered.
Now Christopher Lambert's grasp on reality was pretty tenuous.
Well, grasp on reality, grasp on language of any kind. Yeah.
But also, like, his first move here is to save a homeless lady who's pushing her cart and just, like, kicks her cart out in front of this car. Like, fuck your stuff. Like, I saved you. That's enough. But yeah, so he causes a whole lot of car crashes and all kinds of property destruction. Finally stops this truck.
Welcome to America.
And then we get a scene common in this movie where it looks like everybody in the scene was not given any direction at all, and there was no idea when the scene was supposed to end.
Wasn't that the whole movie?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that
part where Terry Hatcher's talking to Stallone
yeah.
about the dance tour or whatever, and they're just like talk about nothing. He's like, hold on, I gotta get a phone call that has nothing to do with anything.
Yep.
And they just...
They
like,
did allude to that later in the movie. I did actually catch that.
Hmm?
It was not very well done.
Like the movie?
Yes. But he was talking to his quote-unquote stockbroker.
Yeah.
Later on in the movie, he refers to... He's calling someone in like an auto shop. And he's like, just tell him his favorite stockbroker is back in town. So that was some kind of a code. But they did not make that obvious at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he was probably getting some kind of an anonymous tip. But and yeah, that was not obvious at all.
This is also, I guess, to set up her dancing later on in the movie.
But, yeah, well, but the scene could have been a minute, and it was like five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a whole lot of wasted time.
There's a lot of scenes like that with her in there.
Speaking of wasted time, pizza.
It was whoa,
sorry.
Pizza.
Yeah.
And I would have done the same shit if someone walked by me with a pizza.
But again, like, shot in the chest.
I don't even know if that was scripted.
I hope it wasn't scripted. They kept it in.
Yeah, like, literally someone just walked in front of the camera with a pizza.
Yeah, Kurt Russell was probably just desperate for something other than Stallone cuts.
Get catering like, off the set. We're trying to film. Wait, no, I want some of that pizza.
It's only so much pinkish cheese that I can have in my gullet today.
Veins, tangy mayo.
We also, get our first thing is something's up because his gun has been messed with somehow.
I don't know.
There was an implication with that, but they never really followed through on it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make sense. Cause
they did follow through on it.
Well, they did, but they didn't, kind of like the drop of like the stockbroker, they didn't really make it very plain. And this is actually something that might have been from the play between I Want It a Goofy Movie and a serious movie, because that kind of stuff you could have seen turning into a plot where it's like, okay, there's deep infiltration in the police department, all this other stuff, and there was, but there was so much other crap in your way that you couldn't look at that. So it's almost like this is evidence of the play that you were talking about before, with the two directors saying, I wanted this goofy, I wanted this serious, you know?
Yeah. But not like that's his first, he's like, someone messed with my gun. We found later that wasn't his gun. Someone stole his gun and used it to frame with. So like, it's relevant.
Yeah. But all right, so just kind of just push.
Wasn't supposed to be his gun at all.
Okay. It wasn't his gun at all.
Yeah, I didn't catch on to that. I thought somebody was messing with his gun to try and.
Like, yeah, because he was like, my gun's fucked with. Who fucked with this? Because it wasn't his gun. They took his gun. That's why when he's like, that's my gun.
That's on me, I guess, because I didn't fully grasp that, and I was like, why did they mess with his gun but put it back and then come back for it later?
No, so
but, okay,
so
that like makes more sense.
They switch guns with him so you have to go with his prints on.
I'm a fool. Yeah. All right, continue.
So the would-be assassin gets interrogated by Kurt Russell, by Cash, and gives him an address where he says the big drug thing's going down. At the same time, Tango's department gets an anonymous tip or, you know, a tip of some kind. Same big deal is going down. So they're both headed to this potential drug bust at the same time.
Empty warehouse. Yeah. Empty warehouse district.
And that sets up this ridiculous...
Where all Batman versus Rob... Yeah, Batman versus Superman took place.
Did you say Batman versus Rob?
I started to say Batman versus Robin. I don't know.
I mean, wouldn't be the first time. But...
That would make a dope movie, though. Batman versus Robins.
Robin Gibbons.
He's had a few Robins.
Like Nightwing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just picturing the interrogation scene from Dark Knight, except it's Rob.
What?
Where's the
gun? Said Batman versus Rob.
Where's Rapist? What?
Yeah.
Could you take the marbles out of your mouth and talk to me?
Why you won't kill me?
Have you seen the Pete Holmes one? Where they just,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Would you like a lozenge? Can I offer you a Jewish coin, perhaps?
All right, so moving
Someone
on.
Someone threw those on the couch.
What happened to the guilt?
Speaking of
it's
this.
It's not Passover.
Insensitive racism and beating people up in an interrogation. That's what Cash is doing to this poor guy.
Yeah,
because that's what you do. But yeah, they get to the warehouse. It's all one big trap. They find the dude's dead. He's got a wire on him, so I guess the cops knew this, which just so many questions with this.
Yeah.
I can't even...
Well, that's the whole point, because they were confused. Like, why is he wearing a wire? What the fuck's going on?
No, but like...
But the people who busted him, I don't think they knew that he was wired or didn't mention it.
Well, that's just
They were also in on it.
Understand, like, they were set up by someone... with the guy with the two rats.
Well, this is a dumb setup in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a dumb setup.
This shouldn't be hard to prove wrong.
These are your two, like, premier police officers. Why would they kill this guy? What possible motive? Like, there's no motive set up at all.
Plus, like, wouldn't they report Ian that they were going in this building?
Yes.
Well, not maybe, not.
But you would think if they would, and then you could tell this guy was dead for way longer than that.
Right.
And like, that's what I, like, they either have to have everybody that was involved in capturing them in this sting operation has to be under the payroll. And if that's the case, why go through such work for the setup? Just fucking get them wherever.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to frame them that much, they don't even need to be at the crime scene. Just pick them up at home and be like, yeah, we know you were here.
And okay, so his gun was at the crime scene. It's got his fingerprints on it, but are those the only fingerprints on it?
Yeah, like it's his gun. Of course, his fingerprints are going to be on
it. Does he have powder burns on his shirt sleeve or his hands or anything to indicate that he was the one that...
Some of that we might not have been along enough yet to check
CSI for. CSI wasn't out yet.
No bones about it.
Anyway, they get set up.
Bones was not out yet either.
They get set up, and immediately they're in court. They're told to told to plead guilty. If they plead guilty, they'll put them in like club fed or whatever. You know,
white collar prison.
We missed an importantly stupid scene.
I'm sure.
They have the meeting in the evil lair where
with the mice.
With the
Jack Palance is like, "Here's my plan." And he's holding two mice for reasons.
Well, he calls them mice. I think they're rats.
They're rats.
They're
definitely
rats. Probably the same rats we see in later scenes in the sewers.
But yeah, reason to mention this scene is just because apparently the entire bar is also a maze for these rats.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting idea, but why?
Why would anyone have that?
It is an interesting, like, you know, that would definitely be a conversation piece as people are leaving your home. But, like, it was a really well-lit, elaborate maze that he dumped these rats
into.
But
people would be leaving your home because your bar is a rat maze.
It's a rat maze.
Either this is left over from the we're doing a spoof of, like, you know, some kind of James Bond villain, or this is the origin of how he becomes the Rat King, because this is not what real people do.
I do wonder, though, because they didn't show very much of the maze, if the rats, in their random traversing the maze, spelled out the plan that he would follow in framing them, because it would make about as much sense. The rats
randomly
choose. It makes
as much sense if he was schizophrenic and the rats were talking to him, giving him the plan.
I believe that. Yeah. And most likely they were also mimicking his movements from their cage. But so they go off to jail. It's supposed to be this white collar prison where, you know, it's easy sailing, no worries. But of course they get thrown in like Blackgate or some shit. Yeah, whatever this is. Oh, let's not bring that up.
Can I just talk about Cash's statement here? And they plead no contest. He just said this whole thing fucking sucks.
Which, to applause.
Yeah.
Everyone was cheering him.
So far, sums up this movie.
Yes. I think he may have actually been describing the movie.
It's very possible.
The production process.
He's like, I got to air some grievances here.
Yeah.
And that was actually the production crew in the back. They get thrown in this nasty-ass jail where apparently it's just ride a clock. What?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that we're derailed.
You're derailed.
So there's just like a constant riot going on. Everything's on fire.
Shit's raining. What is
this prison
skies.
Is terrible.
Oh, we get a shower scene first with a drop the soap joke.
True. Oh, well, that's not.
That's a thing that has to happen.
This is like.
And did they compare wieners at this point?
Yeah.
They
were making constant wiener jokes.
Like wiener jokes, not dick jokes.
No, not dick jokes, like wiener jokes. Yeah. Like calling each other Pee-wee,
Minnie Mouse.
Like talking in a way that guys don't talk.
No. Yep. Showering in a way that guys don't shower.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this prison looks like Arkham Asylum, like, after the Joker took over.
Yeah, for real.
Seriously.
There's huge piles of, like, garbage paper.
On fire!
On fire.
Little chattering teeth.
Every five feet, there's a fire. Yes. Something's on fire.
One of those guys tells Tango, I'm going to put some brown sugar in your ass.
Yes, he does.
We also get a reprise from Robert Zadar here. This is when we start calling him Conan.
Yep.
Because he's, you know, talking about all a bunch of shit and how he's going to kick his ass and whatever.
Yeah. So Sly breaks his nose or some nonsense.
Yeah, because again, that's just what guards will let happen.
It's so stupid.
Sure.
So stupid. So
they get thrown in their cells.
Yeah.
I did like this scene. I liked when he was like, the guy's like, that's my toilet. He's like, well, what am I supposed to use? Is it anything but that? So, you know, when he's about to argue with him, the guy stands up and the man is just freaking huge. And he's like, this belongs to you. Then meanwhile, Tango gets paired up with Clint Howard.
A worse fate than being in prison on its own.
Yeah.
So Clint Howard's got all these pictures on the wall. First of all, he's got a slinky. All about
that. That part reminded me of the guy from Langoliers that kept tearing the damn newspaper. Sure. It's just like,
you've seen the Langoliers.
It was terrible.
I can't. All right. One problem at a time.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Clint Howard.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Clint Howard has his picture on his prison wall.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a comic book page torn out of, like, somebody biting off a dude's dick and spitting it out.
Yep.
I did not see that.
No, okay.
It was hard to see even in the DVD that we had.
Oh, yeah. It was... I don't understand.
I would not be the least bit surprised if we find out that's a movie poster for another movie Clint Howard is in. Judging by his
he just brought it from home. He just brought it,
possibly
brought his portfolio in and just stuck stuff on the walls.
Well, you know,
like that. They just filmed inside Clint Howard's trailer.
Or maybe they were like,
well,
Ron Howard, Ron, would you do this movie? Like, no, but you can have my brother as long as he gets to put up a poster on your wall.
In all fairness, Terry Hatcher had a headshot put in her
room. That is fair. Oh man,
she had a little resume hanging on. Yeah. Oh, boy. So...
I like how Clint Howard, he tries to read the newspaper. Clint Howard rips it with the slinky. Just, like, stupid move, dude.
Well, yeah, it's again, like, is this, like, even they're hired to just be dicks to their cellmates here? But he's like, oh, yeah, it's Stallone. I don't know what to do here.
Anyway, wackiness ensues until we finally get, like, nightfall, and these guys... Tango and Cash get...
We have a brief comedy followed by, like, a prison rape scene kind of thing. It's not a rape scene, I know, but, like...
The kind of beating you'd reserve for, like, Game of Thrones or something like that.
Yeah, this is some serious shit that's about to go down.
I guess.
This is a prison riot beating. This is,
They should be dead. This should be the end of the movie right now.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they're dragged to some secret location in the depths of this...
Whatever.
Jail.
The laundry room.
With, they like, dragged, 50 prisoners.
Yeah.
Like, the no guard notices prison. 50 prisoners are missing?
I think some of the guards were in the crowd.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
They were. They were paid to be there.
Luke Cage is over there fighting.
Yeah. He's about to break out.
Somebody did mention that it sounded like Mortal Kombat theme music was going on in the background. It was really terrible.
It was like a mix between Mortal Kombat and Ninja Turtles theme music.
And this is where Jack Palance shows up and he's just like, hey, just so you know, I'm the bad guy in this movie, so...
I have a...
How's it going?
Stupid plan.
And at this point, it's like, why are you here? Like, why are you here?
Who are you?
Yeah. He probably owns in prison.
I would have been like...
Still, why are you here?
I have a two-part plan.
Do we have a history together?
Step two.
Seriously.
Plan over.
Step three, probably.
Yeah.
You can't be martyrs if your bodies are missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Like, it's nobody's going to come looking for you now.
Yeah, so...
It was so cliche with the steam and everything.
So they just...
But also, yeah, because even at this point, even if it was like, we can't have your bodies go missing, we can't shoot you because that would seem bad. We need you to die in a prison beating, shoot them first anyway. You're paying everybody all the shit anyway. Just fudge those reports. Like, shoot them in the head, beat the crap out of them, pretend like they never got shot in the head.
Forget this elaborate torture time. Just beat them to death right now.
Or that too, if that would have worked.
Yeah, because they totally had them. There were like 20 guys on top of those two. They were done.
So now, like, legit cops bust in?
No.
Well, no.
Feds?
It's even worse because they tie them up on like these like crosses. They let the head of them hanging up over water. They electrocute them.
Well, yeah, because first of all,
like, elaborate shit.
Tango and Cash's plan, apparently, for dealing with these like 500 men is to wait till they get closer and then fight them.
Yep.
because that works. But of course, it doesn't. They get tied up.
The fight scene was kind of cool for half a second when I was.
It was cool. But I just like the thought process is just like
it ended how it would have ended.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it did. So they get tied up. They're being electrocuted. They should be dead. Mm-hmm. For all intents and purposes, they should be dead. But this is
they were placing bets on who would die first.
Mm-hmm. But this is when the secondary warden assistant warden
Matt,
and yes, a bunch of guards show up and they're just like, yeah, we can't be doing this. And I guess everybody else just books it, question mark. Sure. I don't know where you run to hide in a prison, but
okay. Well, they were like, the people who weren't paid to do this are here, let's run.
Backup laundry room, I guess.
Yeah. He's looking out for them. He's like, you know, listen, I can help you for now, but if you stay here, you're gonna die. They're gonna put you back in Gen Pop. You're surrounded by these people that hate you. They're gonna kill you. So you need to get out of here. Here's an escape plan. I'll set you up best I can. So he does. Cash is like, I'm totally down with this. I'm gonna get out of here. Tango decides he's not really interested.
I don't trust this guy.
Yeah, he would have been interested if he trusted him, but he thought he smelled a rat.
It's the only part of the plan that made sense to me. Granted, getting to this point doesn't make sense, but once you're at this point, it makes sense. Where like, if you get them to escape and you kill them while they're escaping, there's your alibi. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I got that part. Before this part makes no sense. They could have dealt with this way before got to this point. You know?
Yep.
They spent too much resources to get to this point. Like,
yeah. Again, it, for the amount of money he's spending on this, just kill them and make them disappear.
But rats in a maze, Tony. Rats in a maze.
And rats in a bar.
Snakes on a plane.
Oh. So Cash starts to. He's trying to escape in the middle of this monsoon. He gets through like five of the dungeon traps that they have here.
For bullshit with a giant fan.
Yeah.
Because you gotta.
Yeah, he's playing a life size game of Grape Escape.
Yeah.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. But he finds out Pitfall. Matt, was it?
Whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Matt, he's not in the movie long. The rat, whatever.
Matt Zakowski.
He's been killed. He's dead.
He gets thrown down the chute at them.
Yeah, he's been dropped at their feet, so they can be blamed for that too, I'm guessing, is the idea. Sure, why not? Whatever. At this point, even let them escape, because now every cop in the city is going to be after them.
Right.
Like, kill the cop and whatever. So he's like, fuck it, I got to go back. Tango, he's like, the fan's going again. He can't go through, but Tango saves him. He's like, yeah, I showed up because convenience and blah.
And,
The usual shenanigans of like, I could hold this giant ass fan, open with the metal bar just because.
Sure, why not? All right, so now we got to make our way out of the prison here, which they get onto the roof somehow.
They're climbing pipes.
And they're bitching at each other this entire time. With dialogue that I can't remember a single word they said, but I remember it thoroughly annoyed me.
Yeah. It's a bunch of nonsense.
You're here because you suck. I'm better than you. That's why I didn't do that.
I will admit, there is a part where they actually came back to science.
Huh?
And they had a dialogue.
Oh, about the wires.
He was like, we're going to get fried. And Cash is like, you don't know anything about electricity, do you? As long as you're not touching another wire or on the ground, you don't get electrocuted. And that is true, which is why squirrels and birds and Judge Dredd don't get electrocuted when they're hanging from an electrical wire.
Let me explain something to you.
Uh-oh.
That knowledge was probably what was written on a napkin that this whole script was based around.
Well, science is important, Rob.
Sure.
Okay, can I just say, I'm pretty sure all that science was ruined by the fact that I kind of doubt this wire would have taken the weight of people, let alone both of them.
Yeah.
And the drop that they took, they would have broken something.
Yes. Everything. So, science be damned.
So, these two science their way out of prison. They kill the Chin Zadar because he chases after him and he gets caught in the wires and electrocutes himself.
The inappropriately close Transformers.
Right. So, these idiots are...
Which would have arced between the two anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. So, these idiots are free.
I like how it's just sparking.
Yeah.
Just like,
doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. Rain is hitting a wire and somehow sparking.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just that poorly maintained.
Well, I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. Like, what's the water going to short? That was my ass, Joe. That was my
okay.
ass.
Okay.
I thought it was door opening. I didn't know.
It was, but I wanted to give Joe closure.
No, so. I honestly thought that came from Sharon in the other room.
It did. It was the door.
It was the door.
Okay.
I wanted to give you a short, like, easy day.
All right.
Because you looked really concerned there. And
I was more concerned I really that your that ass sounds like a door opening.
Have you ever seen
this? Nope. Okay. Moving
it
also on.
It looks like a door opening.
Oh, boy.
You've so not seen my downstairs.
Now they're free. And then the cops don't care about them being free anymore.
Nope. No.
They just, the cops totally forget they escaped.
Yep.
They're like, let's split up. I'll see you in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, I guess the cops are after them. They've got a wild manhunt of like 5 people out searching for them.
Not in any places they actually would go.
No,
motherfucker goes back to the R&D department of the police precinct.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, what's up? Like, they don't care anymore. It's done. Like, they don't care.
I believe first
that totally
this,
could
he
have
goes,
been like the lab of Baxter Stockman because there were all kinds of weird, not good ideas going on.
Yeah, this was really confusing to me. This was like wild misstep number one because this was a cartoon. Like this was their Q character and I thought he was making movie special effects because he's got some like fake dog with a gun in its face.
It wasn't even really a
they
fake dog.
They
it was
were
a dog
sell.
Shaped thing.
A ton of action figures on this.
Well, he was later hired in like that toy factory and toys.
Yeah, I believe it.
Gentlemen, Jesus. I must use the facilities. Please continue. Do not pause this on my accord.
I think Sharon is there.
Not fine. I'll wait outside.
All right.
Just wait outside and
that
listen.
That one touched cloth.
I need to be as close to that toilet as possible.
Don't rush. I'm listening to you pee.
And she comes out with wilted flowers.
Smell pre-existed.
Wilted flowers.
Like I said, she came out with wilted flowers, saying, "Don't mind the smell." That was great. It's perfect.
So
never mind the begonias.
Yeah. So
where are we?
We're
Baxter Stockman's lab.
Cash goes to Tango goes to see
the captain, right?
The captain, yeah.
At his home,
something like that.
Who's just having a nice spaghetti breakfast, like you do. He scares the crap out of him, but he's
like SpaghettiOs. It was like
Chef Boyardee spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible, but yeah. Then I don't even remember. He goes on about, he's going on and on about something. For some reason, he sends Cash to go get his sister.
Well, we find out in the scene that someone paid him. This guy was in on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in on it. He wasn't the captain. It was the Fed guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the Fed guy. he got paid to do something, and he's like.
To transfer him to the wrong prison. That's what he
said.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's why that happened.
And for whatever reason, now Cash is going after Tango's sister.
Well, before that, they had actually planned to kill the guy because they put a freaking bomb in his car because he goes to try and get in his car away from Tango. And the freaking car explodes and Tango gets hoit. Remember that part?
No.
Really?
That happened?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the same guy that you were just talking about. He got away, ran into his garage, went to open the door of his car, and it blew up.
You're right.
Like, sure.
Yeah. Because it was right after he spills his guts. He's like, let's go. And he books it.
Yeah.
I believe you. I have no reason not to believe you. I just must have,
just weren't paying attention
zoned
to that
out
part,
at that point.
Why.
Right. Right. I'm starting to
remember
more of this now.
So let's just skip to where Cash is getting the sister.
Yeah. So
getting the sister.
At the Cleopatra Club.
Cleopatra Club.
We thought it was going to be like a strip club.
It's a cabaret.
It was not. Yeah, it was a cabaret.
It probably would have been a strip club if it wasn't Terry Hatcher in the role. But since she's not going to get topless for this, instead she's going to get into a bikini and play the some drums.
What
I thought that was interesting.
That?
You know,
Sheila E. plays the drums, she's all hot stuff, so like maybe that's what she was trying to do.
It was just weird, though. It's just weird.
Again, yeah,
it's
another one of those, I don't really know what's happening right now, but whatever. You can set your beard on fire.
No, it smells really bad. I want something better near my face.
Yeah, clean your upper lip. So,
fuck you.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry. All right. Wow. Oh, so
wow. This movie's tearing us apart, Lisa.
Tearing us apart.
All right, so yeah, Terry Hatcher, like, spots eyes with Cash, and she's like, hey, you little son. She's Kit Kat, what's her name?
Kiki is what Kiki. he calls her. So she...
Fufu. No.
Yeah. Kiki. They are... I guess they know that they're being followed. They know it's dangerous to go out. So Kiki dresses in a biker outfit and presumably just steals somebody's motorcycle. Like, I don't know.
Could have been hers.
It could have been hers. Could have been the guy she got the biker outfit from. So maybe she's on loan. I don't know.
I mean, there was an illusion that her brother was helping her out a lot monetarily. So
yeah, but I mean, like,
could have been hers.
But like, the implication is the biker outfit was not hers.
Yes. Well, that was the guy he called. Who did he call him? Like Michael Jackson or something like that? Because the guy walked by in the dressing room with that jacket. And he was like, what size do you wear?
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah. So,
more titties, by the way.
Yeah. But that, like, the whole borrowing of the motorcycle outfit kind of, like, gives you the... Since they don't explain any of it, you assume...
Yeah, we don't know where this bike is coming from.
That motorcycle is his, too. And he's just letting her take it. But whatever. who knows what she did.
So she is now dressed like a biker.
Right.
Because they know they're going to check her because they're going to look under that helmet. It looks suspicious. And it allows him to slip out just wearing a dress and a wig.
Yep.
And stockings and heels.
Yep.
He put the whole shebang on. Makeup.
He did the whole thing.
Kurt Russell? Nice not a pretty lady.
Nope. No.
Not a pretty
looks
lady.
Looks like Quagmire's dad.
So, are you secretly casting for, like, a Family Guy live action movie?
Why not?
Well,
I met Peter Griffin, so, you know.
Because Family Guy should have stayed canceled all the times it got canceled.
Fuck you. Show's funny sometimes, most of the time. Fuck you.
Sometimes.
Chicken fight.
Yes, exactly.
First time.
But,
yeah, to be fair, everything you're probably going to mention for a reason why it's funny was in the first couple seasons before it got canceled. Anyway, continue.
What was that noise?
Anyway.
What kind of mess is Joe making in that
What
bathroom?
I don't get is now the cops, because these are the same town as they both work in, right? So the cops know these guys, right?
They should,
right?
Even if they didn't work directly with them, they probably saw them in the paper and everything, since that's how Terry Hatcher gets
to. So when Terry Hatcher comes out dressed in his biker outfit, she's way smaller than either of those dudes. Because Kurt Russell and Stallone, big-ass dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like, they're jack dudes. Like, they're short, but they're jack dudes.
Well, they got to check her helmet. I get that.
And they're like, hey, you. Because they think it's one of them. Like, motherfucker, she's like 5'2". Like, you know it's not one of them. Like, what's wrong with you?
They're crazy and paranoid.
But of course, when Cash comes out dressed as a lady, he's like, hey, what are you up to? The cop's like, what are you up to? And Terry Hatcher's like, that's my property, so we want a three-way?
Yeah, literally, that's it. That's his proposal, just, hey, how about a threesome?
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, I hate you all.
So Terry Hatcher and Cash wind up back at, well, I guess, Terry Hatcher's place, which is Tango's place.
Yeah, quick side
Depending
note.
Depending on who you ask.
What? So we already mentioned he's taking care of her financially. Sure. So what's going on where this police officer, detective, I'll give him that, is making more money than she is as a stripper or dancer?
Well,
dancer?
Because he's like making investments and things.
Oh, that's what. Okay. Yeah. All right, yeah. I'll give you that.
And again, she's not a stripper. She's a cabaret dancer.
Well, you had to change it to dancer.
Because
they make a lot of money, though, stripper.
Yeah, but she's not one. She's not giving tips and stuff like that.
So, she's an attractive girl that's removing some of her clothes. She's making more than anybody.
He's shrewd with his finances. You know who else is shrewd with their finances?
Oh, God. Bro.
Damn it. Joe, you ass.
The look of disappointment coming at me from Brian right now.
Wow. I knew something.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew immediately. It's like, no, no.
I'm going to just eat this quietly.
Oh, if that was ever the case. So they go back. Yeah, they go back to.
Don't mind me.
Where she is living, Kiki is living at the time, and she starts giving a back rub.
You know, that makes it a little bit more weird. If that's Tango's house.
Whatever.
Bring a simple Nolly into this again. I forgot about my United States or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But I saw Kiki. She's like, oh, and I'm like, what up?
I forgot Kiki was in that song.
And Officer Leroy came up to me. He's like, hey, I thought I told you. I was like, what up?
Wearing my leather. I was like, hey, that's cool. That's cool. Oh, like, but there are pictures of her on the wall, but it's his house. So that makes it all right.
In the bedroom.
Well, that was the living room they were in, right? I don't know.
No, no. We don't see the picture of her till Tango is getting dressed in the bedroom.
Oh, man. But yeah, so.
Yeah, you know, it's like a Lannister thing.
So at this point, Cash is laying on the couch and she's on top of him. Like, you can't see what's happening. You see her top half. It looks like she's, you know, stuff's happening, but she's just giving him a massage.
Sex joke number one.
Yeah.
That we get out of the same scenario. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, they're making comments that make it sound like something dirty's happening, but as we slowly pan around, we see she's just giving him a back rub.
Yeah. So, but then, fast forward, Tango sneaks into his own house for some reason.
Honestly, if I were a sister's cop up that to. Just escaped prison, I would want to.
Yeah.
Right, I would want to sneak that's into. Fair.
Well, no, but like he hears what's going on between them.
And well, there's that too.
They now sound like they're full on fucking. Like that's what it sounds like.
They
now.
Do, and I guess she's trying to like. So he's got like a slip disc or something like that. She's trying to get it back in line.
Yeah.
He slipped a disc.
No, there's no
riding the wires while they were escaping the prison.
She's all like,
oh, you know what? She doesn't know that.
Right. She's like, I think it slipped in.
She's like, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I get the phrasing, but yeah, her attitude towards it makes no sense.
Is this dude got a tail we don't know about? Anyway.
Still less suggestive than patty cake.
It would have been kind of great, though, if they were playing patty cake. So, at this point,
the captain is outside.
Yeah, Tango, now the captain.
Tango's captain?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So Tango leaps over the counter, or over the couch, grabs some duck statue, jumps through this door of some kind.
Screen door,
that's the word. And takes his captain down. He's about to kick his ass. And then he realizes it's the captain, and he's like, oh, right, I don't have to kill you.
Yeah,
right.
So this is big reuniting scene of Tango and Cash.
The lines, so he's like, drop the duck. The captain's like, is this how you screen your guests?
Yeah.
Somewhere off in the distance, there's someone with a drum set like,
I feel like
they all
movie.
Kiss and then the credits roll. Yeah.
Maybe if you leave Daffy behind and get to work.
No, you know how I'd like this to end? If at that point where they're all kind of on the ground, like, you know, coming to their senses, the steamroller from Maximum Overdrive goes through the scene.
I feel like legit, the writers in this movie sat in the room and had cue cards they wrote jokes on and just threw them up in the air where they landed. Like, that's where this one goes in. This was here.
No, that's the rats. I'm telling you. Something was, the rats chose parts of this movie at random.
Yeah, maybe they picked the jokes. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It was, what was it, manatees?
Manatees. I was just going to say.
The ball pit.
Speaking of Family Guy and South Park and all that. That might have been.
So he tells them where to find, like, Ponytail Man.
Yes. So they're off to get some answers. They grab Ponytail Guy. They bring him up to this roof. They you know, they're hanging him over the side. They're trying to get answers out of him. He's giving them nothing. He's like, whatever, I don't believe you, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you're not going to drop me because of some reason. That makes no sense. Just so then they're like, well, let's try a different tactic.
He's like, you ain't Schwarzenegger. I'm not getting dropped off.
Which is funny because I'd be more concerned than like, yeah, you're not Schwarzenegger. I might get dropped off this roof. Like, I'm not sure you can hold me up for that long.
Yeah.
Oh, he was struggling, too. Like, he was totally breaking a sweat holding that guy.
Yeah.
It was both of them, too, so.
But apparently that's not going to work. Playing bad cop wasn't going to work, so they need to play bad cop, worse cop. And now they've strapped him to a pole, and they've taped a grenade in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just bickering and going on about, like, this isn't regulation, and you can't do this.
Well, yeah, Kurt Russell's Cash is basically setting the seed that Tango is fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. And that he's ready to do some shit that he's not supposed to do. And that's when Tango's like, if you don't want to get sticky, get back, Jack.
Yeah, he actually does the It's almost like he devolved into Daffy Duck, and it was just like, I've lost it.
Yeah,
because we keep slipping closer and closer to the cartoon universe.
So the ponytail guy tells them.
Yeah, finally he'd
wear the basis.
Rewarded with a hand grenade in the pants for his efforts.
Yeah, which turns out to be a dud. It'll come later.
How many episodes are we on? This is what, 63,
64? Yeah.
64. This like the third time?
I think it's the third time.
Yeah, a grenade has gone in some man's pants.
I believe so.
At least this one wasn't live.
And it won't be the last time in this movie. There you go. So now it's time for the big final battle. We go back to the R&D department.
Last squad.
Oh, that's dynamite in the pants. Yeah.
From the
hard target.
Hard target, yep.
Giggity.
And then this one.
Twice.
So... we need to prepare for all-out war now, so we go back to the R&D department.
All-out disappointment.
Yeah, all out taking our kids to the soccer game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go back to the little squirrely Q guy who now has... How do we want to describe this?
Well, it's like if your mom was B.A. Baracus.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to call it an RV from hell. It's a minivan from Hack.
It's not even. It's a truck. It's a truck.
It's it's a military grade smart car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is actually a really good way to describe it.
Oh no.
Except it's not even military grade. Yeah.
It's mainly just because it's got a big gun on the side.
It's like you know what? And this would make a really interesting, terrible movie. Is if you had Mad Max only using smart cars. That's how I would describe this. But the inspiration for the design for this was the Batmobile, but all they had to work with was the smart car. It's kind of how I would describe it.
So I feel like after hearing your info on the problems behind the scenes with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my heart of hearts, I wish that they filmed this movie backwards. You know, sometimes they don't film in order. Mm-hmm. And because the rest of this movie is a different movie. So they filmed this part first and was like, dude, you suck, you fired. And they brought someone else in. But I know, I'm positive that it's not the case. The new guy came in for this half of the movie and it sucks. It's like, it's a different movie from here on out. Like, it just changes.
This came out in 89.
Yeah.
This van came out the same year that the 89 Batmobile came out in theaters. Mm.
I would have taken that RV from hell from Stripes over this vehicle.
Yeah, just again, this, I think Brian is totally right, because this would totally work in a spoof movie where it's like, this is like the dumbest car ever, but it's awesome. Yeah. But like, no, we're treating it like it's serious. We're about to take this into a major fight where things are exploding, are dying. Like, it doesn't work.
You know what, though? Go ahead, Brian.
This literally is Leonard Part 6. Like, this part of the movie, like, this scene right here is Leonard Part 6. Like, it really is.
I remember he had a tank car.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. All right, so let me just again,
like a tank
say,
Volkswagen or something, right?
So this is basically...
Again, why I say Leonard Part 6? No.
To describe to you, this is it's a highly modified, I guess, pickup truck.
Yeah.
It's not even a pickup truck.
No, it is.
It's a pickup
truck. When you see it from the other side, you able to see they put a.
It's got the canopy on the back.
Canopy on the back.
Which makes it look more like a hearse than a pickup.
Yeah.
Because of the way the top is shaped. But
Cobra's buyers would have considered.
It does have a Cobra Hiss esque.
Yeah. If it had missiles fully exposed on the sides, they'd be like, buy it.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it does look a little bit like a Cobra Hiss. But
it's like super
top-heavy.
Well, it's like
the super early prototype for the Hiss.
Yeah, so basically it's that. It's got a sloped canopy on it, which is kind of the only futuristic thing really about it. It's got a big, dumb gun sticking out of the side that never gets used. It's got nitrous. It's got nitrous, I guess.
The rest of this movie is G.I. Joe episode.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And the rest of this vehicle, I don't know what it's filled with because nothing gets used.
Yeah. Like, it's filled with unnecessary electronics.
It just looks like a dumpy garbage.
You have a TV with a nerd looking at you. Why? Just nonstop telling you information that's not really useful.
I mean, they don't mention it, but it does have a forward gun port that fires a machine gun a few times.
Yeah.
But, like, why isn't this minigun on the top? Like, why is it the driver's side minigun? Okay.
Why didn't they just use a Jeep? Why didn't they use, like, anything other than anything that they decided to do with this?
Or have, you know, have it on the passenger side so one of the two characters could, like, you know, man the machine gun.
And also, like, this is the LA Police Research R&D Lab. Why did they think they needed a Gatling gun?
I don't know.
Like, it's Los Angeles. I mean, no.
Yeah, but not from that movie, Escape Los Angeles. Like, come on.
Yeah. Wow. Like a 20mm gun too. Like
a lot of questions.
Same one you've had on like an attack helicopter.
These are a lot of questions we're never going to get answers to. Yeah. So
could you snake? But anyway, that's
kind of was.
Yeah. Oh, imagine if they were Snake Plissken and Rambo.
Oh, totally different movie.
Yeah, Jack Palance would stand a fucking 15 chance.
Minutes movie. Like they, what happens? They get to prison and then what?
Yeah. It would be like when Rorschach went to prison in Watchmen.
You put me in a prison, I'm in a prison all the time.
I was gonna say, like, we're gonna have a beat down, we're gonna take him out tonight, and then it just cuts to later and you're like, all the prisoners are dead. They're just standing there like, now what do we do?
Fuck.
So so we have to break into Jack Palance's
abandoned Air Force base.
Yeah, whatever.
Sure.
Construction site.
But first, we got to bitch about Kiki some more.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, it's basically just whatever.
Yeah, it really is. I'm going to date your sister. Whatever.
Yeah, okay. And they go back and forth.
It's like, what were you doing?
What were you doing with her?
Yeah, it's like, what am I telling you? And the audience is just like, we don't care.
Yeah, we totally don't care.
Like, hey, there's a battle over there. Can we go to the battle?
We have an action scene, maybe.
It's like a militarized Amazon warehouse.
Yeah.
It's a whole compound. This is weird.
Nobody touched my sister. You just bought an abandoned Air Force base.
She's my gummy bear?
Yep.
She's don't entitled to at least bear. Half of them.
She's got her own Twizzlers. Don't touch my kid. That I've not touched.
Well, if you want to her touch your Twizzler, you might want to let her eat your gummy bears.
Giggity. You think that's how that works? No.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
We're objectifying you, honey.
Oh, God.
You should put some gummy bears in your wine.
Not a bad idea, actually.
It probably is a really good idea.
It's like when I was in high school, my bus driver.
It could be like gummy bear juice. You bounce it around afterwards.
It's like in high school, my bus driver took those sugar sticks and put it in her coffee in the morning. I was like, damn, that is disgusting. The pixie sticks.
I know what you're talking about. The big ones. I'm just saying you're talking about disgusting, and I know what you eat. That's all I'm saying.
All right. All right. So.
Back to this movie.
I'm going to have a grilled cheese, no bread, put some baker's chocolate on it.
That's kind of gross.
Textured vegetable protein.
Yeah.
Textured vegetable protein with the cheese is good. That is good. That is delicious. That's most of
what I eat. Could you think of a better name for it, though?
Textured vegetable protein? That's what it's called.
I know. Could you think of a better name for it?
Brick chow.
Okay.
That's what I call it. All right. Joe can attest to this.
Okay.
So this movie is almost over.
Draining the last bit of life essence that I have.
Okay. When this starts, you're immediately like, what the fuck are we doing right now?
What, talking about my diet plan?
No.
No.
I'd almost rather do that than watch what happens in the movie. Like, he drives onto the base. And, like, Jack Palance set up his fleet of technicals with rocket launchers and monster trucks.
Yeah.
It's 2 on 100.
Construction equipment.
The construction equipment was a good idea, and they should have used that with the minigun. That would have been a better choice, because that would have been freaking badass. Those are hard to stop.
Okay.
But, yeah, this becomes a quick episode of The Mask.
Yeah.
Just like there's cars with gunk with mask. You know what? Close the fuck enough, because
that would be
there's
really
all kinds
weird.
Of kookiness happening here.
If Stallone got the mask, I don't know how that would work.
That would be horrible.
It'd be the bad guy at the end of the mask.
Yeah. No.
It'd probably just kind of look like he looks now.
Yeah, kind of kick your ass and touch my kid.
Anyway, so they somehow they get out of their van because the van gets destroyed.
Yeah, they take out every car except these two construction vehicles. and they realize they're about to get the, you know, they're about to lose the van, so they just jump out and get into the construction vehicle.
And not
it,
once
it runs out of gas, that's why.
Yeah.
Right.
Not once do they fire that giant machine gun on the side of the van.
Not once.
That could have redeemed so much of this scene, just letting that blow some stuff up. Also, Jack Palance looks like he's jacking it to this. Like he's making faces
probably was
that are unacceptable. Yeah. He's like, like while he's watching it.
I'm a little nervous that the rats weren't seen in that particular scene, to be honest.
Oh, I see what you
did. Somebody get me a Kleenex. The check. No. Clear.
Everything you're looking at.
Forget the Kleenex. I definitely need a towel.
No, but everything you're looking at in this scene is unacceptable.
Yep.
I think at this point, I was just like, I'm going to wait until I start paying attention again. I was just like, this is dumb.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, it's this crazy episode of G.I. Joe, which is already ridiculous. And they just decide they're going to smash these construction vehicles through half of this building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Run the trucks through the building. They destroy all of the guns and whatever else he had.
Yeah.
How old is Michael Bay?
Old enough to know better.
No. I mean, like, I wonder if this may have been where his interests started in blowing things up.
Oh, fuck. You're going to take my joke? I said that when we were watching the movie. Oh.
Well, I didn't realize that. I literally just thought of that.
Well, I don't know.
Stealing my jokes.
I'm trying so hard to keep focus.
So Jack Palance activates the self-destruct.
He not only activates it, he forces Terry Hatcher to activate it.
In all fairness, now that we have correlated this to a G.I. Joe episode, it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Like, that made sense.
Here's the problem. It's crazy enough, and I guess it does fit in with the G.I. Joe movie, but now we're not even in a G.I. Joe movie. He's now become Dr. Wily, okay? Why? There's no fucking reason should be a self-destruct button.
It's the 80s. The bad guy's lair has
to appears to be empty.
No, it's not a space station. It's a fucking warehouse.
It's the 80s. The bad guy's lair has to blow up.
Don't forget, at the beginning of this movie, that tanker was full of cocaine. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I've never seen anything like this on Earth.
Do you think?
If we find energy crystals, we'll find Dr. Wily.
Do you think they reshot some scenes in the beginning with this whole thing about a tanker truck full of cocaine because they realized they had one on set from the writing staff? That would explain so much.
Maybe.
But yeah,
they were trying to transport it out of the 80s safely.
It would certainly explain this, because yes, he's got this warehouse where he's making drugs, he's selling guns, he has a self-destruct mechanism, he has cars full of different weapons,
yes.
He's got
no employees.
Like I said, it's a militarized Amazon warehouse.
He's got a bar with a rat maze in it, and he's got secret mirror room for him to escape with a hostage.
I forgot about that, like, weird tangent.
Clearly, this is
movie.
A man that needs to be making plans.
He makes too many plans.
Seriously?
They're all dumb. Yeah.
I think the script just went around like a game of telephone.
Yeah. I swear to God, at one point, I expected Jaws to show up, throw mutagen in the room, and beat
Jaws. It was the guy with the jaw.
Mr. Wong and Ponytail Guy were going to turn into Bebop and Rocksteady. That's what I thought was happening.
This is the Ghostbusters with the monkey. That's what this is.
No, I'm just picturing...
And Viggo Mortensen.
Like, the writers had a meeting...
Fire brick.
Don't.
Is Stallone the monkey, or said as Robert Star?
However you decide to translate it, that's what this is.
I'm picturing this meeting that, like, all the writers got together, and it was one of those ones where they were like, "Hey, no idea is a bad idea. Let's just brainstorm some stuff."
whoa, pizza.
Wait.
Put it in the script. Put it in the movie.
I don't think we should do that. No idea is a bad idea. You gotta put it in.
Pizza was loaded with cocaine.
Yeah.
It was a white sauce.
I think you gotta. How about we end this with them burning all the evidence that would set them free?
Yes.
Yeah.
No idea is a bad idea.
I bet it was like, okay, I'm going to write a sentence. I'm handing it to you. You write a sentence.
Well, I was thinking a little bit bigger scale. Like, all right, so we have approximately 2 months to shoot this. So we don't have a script yet. We just have something on a napkin that says. So
it's what like was an the exquisite line on the corpse napkin? Was yeah. How you developed this.
Yeah. The electricity thing.
Yes.
The power line thing. We just have this idea.
Yes.
We've got Sly and Kurt Russell on board.
Yeah, you know what?
Everybody take a page home, write a page, and bring it back tomorrow. We'll start shooting.
I think you're just slightly off because I don't think that was the line that they had. I think they were just like, everybody write something tonight, bring it in, we'll throw it all
just
together.
Write what you know. Just yeah. Write what you know.
I think the bird line was because one guy accidentally grabbed his kid's like science homework and just tossed it in there. I'm like, fuck it, let's go. It works, whatever. We'll work around it. We're filming in 20 minutes. We need something.
And it's going to release in 40.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Lopez and Victor Wong, they get shot. Who cares? Whatever. One of them shoots Kurt Russell. He couldn't even give a fuck.
You can see the director panicking because there's just an egg timer next to him showing him when time's up.
Stallone's like,
We gotta release this movie.
Stallone's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, it's a clean exit. I'm not even bleeding. It's a fucking gunshot.
Just his arms on the floor like, no, it's fine. I'm good.
It's just a flesh wound.
Because the director's probably there in a swivel chair, and like to his right is like the pad and paper he's still writing on. In the center is the camera he's filming with, and to the left is like the editing booth he's working with.
A ketchup packet in this dude's shirt or something. Like,
but so something. Now we're like in the main villain room, we'll call it. And now Ponytail guy shows up again.
Yep,
and he's like.
I am British.
I've got this other goon that you've never seen before.
Never seen. Yeah. No introduction. Does not get a name. Does not get anything.
He's got Terry Hatcher. He's got, like, he's doing a standoff with him for a few seconds, and then this goon just shows up.
Yeah, they've got Terry Hatcher out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
I honestly, I thought for a moment there, I missed the part where, like, he threw down a little capsule and it exploded into this goon.
Yeah. No, he even says... I got my friend here. He's never met you, but he wants to beat you up real bad. Like,
his friend was like, I just used the bathroom. Like, I don't want to do this.
But where was your friend? We just saw a shot of the whole room. He wasn't there. Where'd he come from?
I am Dracula.
The mirror realm. Obviously.
Upside down.
He came really upside down. Yeah. Terry Hatcher was like, well, I'm in an action movie and I have a vagina. I guess I'm kidnapped.
It's still the 80s, so yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and we're entering the 90s, so she's not capable of doing anything.
She's got Lois Clark, yo.
No, she's like, I gotta get kidnapped again.
Yeah. That's for the TV shows. It's different. And you want to go there? Yes, she was Lois and Clark. What is Lois known for, Brian?
Shut up, Tony.
Short skirts and long jackets.
And getting kidnapped like a
motherfucker. Long jacket.
So, he's like, all right, you can't stop me. I could shoot her and end this now, but instead let's fist fight, because why not?
Because they put down all their guns.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's make this harder for ourselves.
This is like, you know how in Commando when it's Schwarzenegger versus Bennett, and you're like, this guy doesn't have a fucking chance.
Why would you say that?
But
now all I can think about is watching Commando instead.
Which we should have done.
Which we mentioned during the movie.
Commando again. But anyway, like, at least in that part, Bennett, there was some charm where you're like, I want to see this. Bennett's face is crazy enough or something. This one, you're like, these two guys are fucked. Like, I'm not convinced at all that they are a threat. Yeah. You're going up against Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone.
Like, if Robert Zadar was the ponytail guy instead of the ponytail guy.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because as far as we know, this guy is ponytail guy. That's what he's known as. That means you're going to die. There's no way you're getting through
this. And could this other goon that just showed up, could he have been, like, twirling a switchblade or something? That makes you at all convinced that
chain.
He's got a chain, you know, something.
Picked up one of those guns he had to drop.
Yeah.
They
took the guns from him. And
Tango and Cash, and they had them.
They disappeared into the mirror realm, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
He just looks like Dee Snider with a mouthful of glass shards. It's not really...
I wouldn't want to fight that.
That's true.
I would not fuck with that.
I've seen Strangeland, so even without the mouthful of glass shards...
That's just basically G.G. Allen at that point. I don't want to mess with that.
Woof. So, they take him out. I don't even remember how.
Grenade in the pants.
Yeah, they take out Ponytail with a grenade in the pants.
Right, of course.
I don't remember how they take out the other guy.
The other guy was just like, dude, I was just trying to take a dump.
God, he just gets beat up.
My car broke down.
I was just his shadow, so now that he's dead. Holy God.
What?
Who the fuck was that?
It hasn't hit me yet. Was it you, Brett?
Yeah, I haven't gotten anything.
He brought a little extra something out of the dumpster.
Oh, God. Yeah, vegetable protein is not healthy.
Oh, God. Yeah, there it is. That's...
Holy shit. Holy shit.
That's something.
Yes, it is hoity.
That is like a dying dog just had diarrhea on my face.
Can we not go through like just one episode without this?
That's all I ask. My plan.
Now we're just huddled around a candle. Like a group of hobos.
Who's in the dumpster now?
Wait till you smell it. It's bad.
It's so fire. Yeah.
It's better. Hoping it'll be better.
Anyway, so this is a precursor to the end of this movie.
Rotten egg.
I know this is probably pointless, but maybe just hold for editing.
Okay, so...
Hold what?
Okay. So...
You gotta make the button on here.
Hold for editing.
Okay.
All right, where were we?
Now Perrette's like, hey, check out my sweet mirror room.
Right.
Just cause.
But it's not
I just got done watching Conan the Destroyer.
It's not like... So, it'd be one thing if he was like in a room full of mirrors... But, like, the camera is just focused on the mirrors.
Yeah.
And it's, like, showing you... You watch the rest of the movie, basically, through a reflection in a weirdly green-tinted mirror.
Like, set design. This looks like the mirror room from that Bruce Lee movie.
Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
But they were on a budget because they had to convince the high-named actors to do this movie with lots of money, so they made that mirrored room in a closet.
Because obviously Enter the Dragon had a huge budget that they could get a
All they had to use were just the mirrors that Bruce Lee didn't break in there.
What it is, it's when you... Like, if you're getting a suit tailored, you have to stand in this little closet with mirrors.
Is that what that is?
They can fit you know, better. Like, you see yourself on all angles. You see yourself.
I kind of think that's why this is all shot from, like, one of the, you know, focused on one of the mirrors. Because I feel like if they panned out, you'd just clearly see which one was real Jack Palance.
Like, I thought it
wasn't even a question.
When they first showed him with her, I thought you can see his elbow sticking out into the doorway a little bit. That's what my first thought was, like, he's right there.
Yeah, probably. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's right probably, there. They were like, elbow, like, he's right this there. Is not convincing at all. Let's just kind of pan up and focus on that one corner for some reason.
Yeah, it was only for a second. Then it zoomed in more, so you can only see the mirrors. I'm pretty sure you can see his elbow in the doorway. Yeah,
most of the shot from this room looks like it's zoomed in and looks like a bad security camera footage. Like, it's just off.
I don't know. It's like, why is this even necessary?
It's not.
It's Jack Palance. Terry Hatcher could have just, like, you know, grabbed one of his, you know, bandages and unraveled it. He just would have fallen apart.
It collapsed into a pile of bones.
I also would have accepted if he just threw Terry Hatcher aside and was like, Mom, roll the elbow living and, like, transformed and them to the death. I would have been okay with that.
We go through this nonsense. We're like, oh, we're going to take him alive, shoot him in the knees, and then they both... At the same time, shoot him in the head.
Yep.
They're like, the sights are off on my gun.
Their sight was off.
And now, all the while, and I know we mentioned it, but I think we glazed over it a little bit. There is an 11-minute self-destruct timer that is currently counting. I don't know why 11 minutes, first of all.
Yeah.
But we're on the last 20 seconds of it by the time these guys run out. So they have 20 seconds. 21 seconds exactly on the counter.
Which, also, a quick stop you there. That also means, what was Jack Palance's plan?
I'm getting to that. So they run out of this main room, through the facility, through the construction yard, through the gates, and out of the blast radius in 20 seconds.
And like cool guys, they didn't look at the explosion.
No, they did not look at the explosion. No. So, place explodes. They're in the grass.
they're still guilty of this murder.
Yeah.
Yep.
All the evidence that could have possibly saved them has just been blown up.
It's all burning right now.
They just shot the dude in the head that actually did it.
Yep. They're not cops anymore.
And they high five. Is that how this ends?
Yep.
They high five and credits roll.
They're still fugitives.
The newspaper comes on.
They still bicker over whether or not he can do the system.
Yeah. Right. But I mean,
and the newspaper comes on saying that they're heroes again.
Right.
Magically. Yeah.
But, and that's where it ends.
Four reasons, and that's the end of it. Yeah. You just start rolling credits.
Yeah.
You're just like, thank you, Jesus, at that point.
And that's Tango and Cash.
Oh, that sucked.
All right, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a 33%. Audience gave this a 52%.
Wow.
That is the official rating on this. But what is your personal rating and or recommendation, Brian?
So this movie does not hold up the way I thought it would. I realized as a kid the parts that got me were the explosions toward the end, the weird vehicle because it was G.I. Joe era, and a couple fight scenes. Aside from that, this movie shouldn't have caught my attention, but probably since I only saw it on USA, they had commercials, so I was easily distracted, so it makes more sense. But yeah, it doesn't hold up. There's not much in it that's worth seeing. Like, there's no memorable you-have-to-see moments. Hmm. So if you want to watch it, I mean, even with friends, I didn't quite care for it, so I can't recommend it. I can't.
Okay, Rob.
I don't understand who this movie is for. I don't understand what this movie is about. Like, now that you've explained all the problems behind the scenes, like, I kind of get it a little bit better, but it doesn't excuse the fact this movie, it's just a mess. Like, there's nothing worth watching. The action scenes are dumb. The dialogue is...
dumb.
Dumb. We'll just say dumb. The movie is borderline unwatchable. Like, and not because it's so, like, just bad, like, flat out. It's just so scattered and so all over the map that, like, you can't focus on anything. So, yeah, no, definitely not. Not for me, thanks.
All right, Joe.
You had Kurt Russell. You had Sylvester Stallone. You made good movies. How do you fuck this up? Like, they found the way. I don't know. Done.
They still hold my beer.
Yeah, no recommend. Done. Next.
All right. Eric.
I was trying to come up with some witty to say about this movie. It's a stupid movie. That's all I got. It's really dumb.
It saps your intelligence.
Yeah,
you
like,
watch.
It doesn't even deserve my wit.
Okay. Yeah, I also can't really recommend it. It wasn't offensive like some of the bad movies we've seen. So if you come across and you feel like giving it a watch, it is batshit crazy, so... okay, enjoy that. But like Rob said, I don't know who this is for. It seems clear the movie doesn't know who this is for. They couldn't seem to decide if they want to be, you know, realistic or, you know, some weird satire. I can't even recommend that this be remade because I think they did and called it Pain and Gain. So, like, we don't need this. It's just a waste of your time. So, yeah, not recommending it.
It's like if Daffy Duck and Howard the Duck tried to produce an episode of Three Stooges.
No, I'd watch that.
Yeah, that sounds way better.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
That sounds kind of amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Who's the third Stooges?
That's what I was wondering. We only got two there. Yeah. Donald Duck.
Yeah. So.
Darkwing Duck.
Since we're not.
Launchpad McQuack.
There you go.
There it is.
Yep. See, we are better directors than those
were. Wow.
Sorry, Mr. McD. Yeah. I didn't mean to hit you in the face with that pie.
He just drives with his huge construction vehicles through the mall.
Since we're not recommending this movie, what would you recommend in its place?
Lethal Weapon.
I just described.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon. I mean, there you go.
Okay. Die Hard.
I think Lethal Weapon works.
Yeah, you got two buddies.
Yeah, it's the buddy cop movie.
Yeah,
formula
Black.
Done right.
Mad Max.
Sure.
Well, so for the big fight scene with
cop
all
and
the
a
vehicles,
half.
Like just
like
go
cop and a half. Turn hooch.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves on this list. Sorry. But speaking of this list, what do we have, Brian?
It's time again for D20 of Fate.
Let's don't see. Sound disheartened.
I'm sorry, but
it's right, you know what? 20. You're not gonna be here for it.
That is true. I will not be here for
you're
these episodes.
You're exempt from whatever this role is.
Wait, what? Oh, now our listeners are gonna tune out.
No, no, no. He'll be here. I'm going to pretend to be him.
I'll tempt
now
you
our
back.
Listeners are definitely going to tune out.
I'll tempt you back with some guilt, maybe?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So it's Joe's role. We're going to see what he gets. He's been charging it up for a while now.
He's got a good drum going here.
Let's bring up the list.
Roll. 20. Natural 20. Roll a natural 20. Roll a natural 20.
Soft! Six.
Ah.
Six is 1981's Excalibur.
All right, that's passable.
It's not a one.
I don't recall that movie.
I don't know.
It's not the greatest, but it's got Patrick Stewart
in it.
It's
a good movie.
It's got Patrick Stewart. It's got a very young Liam Neeson.
Okay.
It's got a cool, kind of cool Merlin with like a Destro vibe going on.
Okay.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Starting to come back.
Starting to sound awesome.
We had both Punishers on this list.
Ooh. Wow. Well, there are three of them now, I think.
Yeah, wait, which?
Well, I mean, both, like, we had the 89 and the Travolta 2004.
Okay.
Which is the one with the baseball bat and which is the one with the motorcycle?
Yes.
So, well... where else are we going with this?
Okay.
No. I don't know which one was the one with the fish and which one was the one with the cloud.
Finding Nemo and Up.
Okay. All right, guys. So if you want to tell us about
Walking Dead and
no, like the guy who walks around with all the sports things.
Casey Jones.
That's Ninja Turtles. It's nothing to do with
not
Punisher.
Not the same thing with the Punisher.
Nope, not at all.
I think he was thinking of Ghost Rider, maybe?
Yeah.
That's kind of
where he's got, like, the flaming head.
Yeah. Holy shit, Joe.
He speaks fluent British.
Holy shit.
He won't stop coming over my house. He's just there all the time, and eventually you learn to figure him out. Oh. All right, what are you looking at on the screen that sent your eyebrows aflutter?
Just clicking off.
Just clicking off.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my. Don't worry about it. So,
the concept of clicking off.
That was our podcast this week.
What else we got for the people, Rob?
Well, next week we've got, what is it, Excalibur?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, so join us for that. If you guys have any stories, email us. At the 4am podcast at gmail.com.
If you want to say words to us, just email us.
I think Tony's trying to turn himself into Robert Zadar right now. He's trying to force all the blood in his body into his chin.
I think Tony just threw up in his hand.
I think he just threw up in his hand.
Are there smells going on right now? Yes. Okay. All right, guys. So we're going to...
That's the wrap it up. We got a go sign.
I got the go sign now. They're flicking the lights on and off. So if you'd like to get a hold of us with any questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. That's the number 4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and or Twitter at 4ampodcast. Facebook, we have all of our newest episodes as well as just some fun stuff that we add there. So check us out if you will. And we'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Adios.
Deuces.
Good night, everybody.
I'm above the law.